We are entering one of the most crucial periods in American history. The next election is a watershed mark that will determine not only what 21st century America will look like, but also how America will act on the international stage, and consequently, how billions of global citizens will experience American power, and how billions of global citizens will live their lives. That is what is at stake in the next election. I don't want to be too dramatic, but it will literally determine the future of the world, as well as America. And the two things we know are tied up together. Will the changes already wrought by the neoconservatives of the Bush administration in terms of the erosion of civil liberties at home and direct and massive military occupation abroad, and those changes are at present temporary, will those temporary changes become permanent and timeless? Because that is what, in fact, the neoconservatives want. They are looking in the long term. In fact, one of their projects, which I'll talk about as we go through, one of their projects is actually called the Project for a New American Century. Now, you may remember the 20th century was supposed to be also the American century. They now have a vision for the 21st century also as a new American century. And in fact, as Zia Meehan from Princeton University says it's a very strange notion. You know, we all kind of live in the same time, but in fact, time itself in their vision belongs to America. It's not just space thereafter. The American empire is not just an idea of global space. It's also, in fact, a conquering of time. And if they have their way, it is a conquering of timeless time. That's what's at stake. And those of us who care about alternative values like democracy, like real freedom, like compassion, like love, like peace, like justice, we have the fight of our lives on our hands. Because if the Bush administration cannot be beaten now, when they are at their weakest and we are at our strongest and most united. I mean, I've never seen progressives united the way we are right now with the sole aim of trying to unseat this unelected president. And if we can't do it now when they are at their weakest and we are at our strongest, the game really will be over. It really will be the 21st century American project will really be permanent. And it will be at least a century. What are the impacts of this? What's the outcome? Well, the 21st century will be a time of environmental destruction on a scale we have never, ever seen. It will be a time of barbarism, a time of genocide, a time of religious fundamentalism. And a lot of this is actually driven by religious fundamentalists of all kinds, whether it is our own Christian fundamentalism, fundamentalists who exert such a powerful role in this administration, or whether it is the Islamic fascists like Osama bin Laden or the Hindu fundamentalists who are in power in India. That is what the future of the world will look like. And given the awesome weapons at the disposal of human beings, given the awesome weapons at our disposal, I don't believe we will survive much into the 21st century. So our job is to educate and organize, and especially in America, because in fact, American citizens have a special responsibility, because what is being done in the name of American citizens. It is being done in our name. And so we, in fact, I think, have a special responsibility, not just for the election, but for the world that will follow it. We have to do a massive job of educating and organizing, and that will mean deconstructing the past in terms of what it tells us about the present and what it tells us about the future. And looming over everything, symbolically and emotionally, looming over everything, of course, is September the 11th and the wars on Afghanistan, but especially the war on Iraq, the attack on Iraq. It's not really fair to call it a war. War implies two equal, but you know, it was an attack on a defenseless third world nation that was already weakened 10 years ago by a massive strike, and then has been starved into submission since then. So we have to understand what happened in the last year. So let's go back to the justifications for the war with Iraq. The war on Iraq never actually stopped from the first Gulf War. There's been, in fact, a constant attack on the people of Iraq. But in this new stage, it started actually on September the 12th. Actually, it started on September the 11th, because, in fact, what we know, Donald Rumsfeld actually wanted to attack Iraq on September the 11th. And the build-up for it started that time. Remember the rationales, because history is important. It may not be important to the Bush administration, but it should be important for everyone else. Remember the rationales? Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, nuclear, biological, chemical, that may be used against its neighbors. And as Saddam Hussein is a supporter, Saddam Hussein, the brutal tyrant of Iraq, is also a supporter of terrorism, he might give them to groups such as Al-Qaeda. Also, Saddam Hussein is a brutal tyrant, and regime change will bring about democracy to the peoples of Iraq and will help to stabilize the region. That was the broad rationales for the war, those four points. Although, of course, the weapons of mass destruction was the most important of those. In the months leading up to the war, these justifications were relentlessly and uncritically relayed by those stenographers to power, the corporate mass media.